Chapter 3. The Alteration of the Soul State. When one enters the workshop of the heart, consciously yearning to adapt the soul state to a higher plan, and for that purpose engages in the soul struggle, one needs to be aware that such a soul transformation or soul rebirth is indeed possible, structurally and fundamentally. One also needs to understand the direction this development will need to take and the power in which it will unfold. The aim is to regenerate the entire microcosmic nature, to reattune it to its essence and original purpose, the unification with God, with the Spirit. So let us first consider what powers are or will become available to the candidate at the beginning of his work. The first of these is reason, the rational doctrine, the rational message of salvation. Of course, if reason is to speak to you, some means of access must first be present. If that is not yet the case, then the words, hearing, they are deaf, will apply to you. The ability to understand a rational doctrine, a doctrine of the gnosis, will only be present if there has been sufficient experience of the irrational, and one only gains that experience through suffering and sorrow, by shedding many tears and by drinking deeply from the cup of bitterness. Only then will it be possible for reason to speak to you, and only then will it be possible to determine whether you yearn for liberation enough to be able to accept and follow reason. Positive reason always requires a certain activity, an action, a way of life. There are many who do not understand this and only assimilate the tidings of reason with their intellect, believing that reason can be grasped by intellectual assimilation. Alone. What a mistake. The assimilation of reason also implies the adoption of an appropriate way of life, which may possibly be in total conflict with the existing soul state. So the pupil who rationally accepts the message received must also accept, immediately, the struggle against any aspects of the soul state which conflict with that rational message. The future will then reveal whether the rational message imparted will indeed emerge in a demonstrable and liberating way. If it does not, then either the message was a fallacy or the person concerned has not yet descended into the workplace of the heart. That is why we speak of a rational moral acceptance of the salvation of the gnosis. The rational touch is the intellectual aspect, while moral acceptance concerns the adoption of an approach to life in keeping with the rational message. So one needs to descend into the workshop of the heart in order to test out the rational message in actual practice. Those who make no attempt to bring a Gnostic doctrine to reality have only accepted the rational message in a theoretical way. Then the floodwaters of distress will have to rise up to their necks once again before a genuine, serious effort can be made, because receiving a rational message is not the same as understanding it, for that means applying it. Several drafts from the bitter cup of suffering are usually necessary before such lessons are learned. People generally protest against suffering, and the world does everything possible to neutralize and alleviate it. But for most people, suffering is the only method of making the nature-born consciousness, which is governed and colored by a wicked or undeveloped soul state, realize that something is wrong. For the soul state overshadows and controls the entire personality, the whole being. Anyone who has gone through experience, and everyone does that in the nature of death, will begin seeking sooner or later. As soon as the seeking life begins, the person concerned ought to begin, in the heart, the struggle against the soul state. The moment he does so, all kinds of voices will speak to him, reactions to all the radiations and influences which until that time played a role in the heart sanctuary and are thus on the same level as the soul state. Additionally, all those voices urge the candidate to try out various social, political, ethical, or nature-religious experiments with which the world is full and which are intended to make him realize the ultimate pointlessness of all efforts on the dialectical level. And so it will come about, whether after 10 years or 1,000 years, or even after a sidereal year, that a person becomes mature enough for his life to take a different direction. Then the moment dawns when Gnostic reason begins to speak to him to a certain extent. It points in the only direction that can lead to a solution to all problems, the direction of the soul state, the state of the heart. And into it, the nature-born consciousness must now descend, as it were. Then one can no longer allow the soul state and its development to remain an automatic process, but must assail the soul state with the eye consciousness. As a nature-born being, you have such a powerful ego, don't you? You are so eye-central, aren't you? And you know so precisely what you want. You are very self-aware, and particularly if you are in the spiritual school, you are likely to have a very strong personality. So use the I, the ego, to attack your soul state. You are capable of achieving so much with respect to ordinary things, aren't you? So why not do so with respect to your pupilship and use your I consciousness to assail your own soul state? Begin that remarkable struggle now, today, and from that moment onwards you will experience the results of it, and your entire life will change. We are not saying it will become more tranquil and harmonious. No, it will become quite different. In what way then? Well, the nature of the suffering, the nature of your sorrows, the nature of your difficulties in life will change. An entirely different cup of suffering will be put to your lips, and then it will no longer be the useless, stupid suffering in the monotonous course of things, but a sorrow caused by the I consciousness itself, born of its attack on the heart. So we are concerned not with an attack on others, see and how often you excel in such attacks, but an attack on your own self, and that entails much bitterness, which, however, is extremely instructive and purifying. This sorrow may be much more intense, more painful than before, but, as we said, it is purifying, and purification brings the pupil to the path of liberation. It conducts him into the liberation process. The pain caused by the fire of purification can sometimes be so bad that the beginning pupil often reverts to his former state of being in order to avoid the increasing opposition. When, with the candelabrum of his consciousness, he begins to attack the candelabrum of the heart, many confrontations will result, since in the heart converge all the forces, radiations, and influences that together form the soul state. Anyone who, with the self, attacks the soul state which has been the cause of so much affliction, will encounter in the heart the self-unleashed forces and influences occupying his respiration field. During the course of your life, you have built up a great deal of unholiness in your respiration field. Numerous thought forms and desire phantoms are enjoying the best of health there. And if now you begin to take control of your own heart, your own soul state, you will have to confront all those forces and influences of karma and the subconscious, as well as the natural forces of the aeons. So anyone who enters the heart in this way will literally unleash a storm. Think of the gospel legends that deal with these things, such as Matthew 8:24-27 and Mark 6:48-51, for instance. The storm becomes violent and lasts until Jesus boards the ship or until he awakens from sleep and quells the storm. In other words, the storm lasts until, through one's perseverance in the struggle, the seed grain of Jesus, the central heart of the microcosm, opens and the power of the rose. The light of the rose begins to radiate, bringing a certain measure of tranquility to the soul. From that moment on, the soul's state begins to undergo a transformation, a soul transformation affecting the whole being that has lived for so long under the old dispensation of things, a transformation involving the entire former self. To sum up then, attack your soul state with your nature-born ego. The result will initially be a whole complex of difficulties and vexations, and perhaps awful tensions. But the solution to it all will be the opening of the rose, the activating of the light, the fragrance of the rose. In that radiation power, you will certainly change. When this procedure has begun, we speak of the rebirth of the soul or of the transformation of the soul state. Then the light emanating from the candelabrum that stands in the midst, the sevenfold candelabrum of the heart, will be totally transformed. A new soul state will then have come into being through which the character and essence of the consciousness candelabrum in the head sanctuary will be completely changed. Once the soul state has been altered, it will drive the whole being in the new direction, the direction indicated. If, with your eye, through the self-surrender of your ego, you succeed in changing the state of your heart, then the head sanctuary, the ordinary consciousness, will have to demonstrate an altered approach to life. Think of what we have often told you too about how, when the blood changes in the heart sanctuary, the lesser circulatory system carries the changed blood to the head sanctuary, where it alters the state of all the head sanctuary's organs. In this way, changing the soul state leads to an alteration of your whole state of life. So we can be quite certain that if the new state has not been manifested, you have not yet fought the ego's struggle of self-surrender. In that case, you have accepted the rational message presented to you as a practical indication for your pupilship in a purely intellectual way without doing anything about it. So, yearning for the liberating life is not present in you either, and you will have to go on being battered and wounded by life until finally you make the necessary decision to undertake the surrender of the self to an inner process that will lead to the total transformation of your being. Why are there pupils who have been in the school for years and yet have remained exactly the same as they were when they joined? They have not fought the light, they have not accepted the struggle. And look at all the misery that has developed in their lives over the years. If only they had made better use of their time, then they would already have been purified by suffering sufficiently to enter the new state of life. We know that in spite of the difficulties encountered, many pupils have followed, or are in the process of following the path we have been describing. As a result, their soul state is changing at a pace appropriate for each one of them individually. In this way, they are acquiring new soul qualities, and this is being demonstrated in many respects by their actions. Among other things, this new action gives the candidate totally new perspectives on life so that he gains more tranquility and confidence and greater goodness. However, it is important to bear in mind that this often brings with it a certain feeling of superiority. This is one of the byproducts of goodness. The good person has a kind of feeling of superiority, albeit combined with a certain measure of humility. It gives him the feeling of having arrived, so this byproduct constitutes a danger and a grave one at that for those who have reached the border. For what is the purpose of the new soul state, the new soul quality? What is the aim of the process of soul rebirth? Surely it is to bring yourself into a condition in which your whole being is capable of meeting and receiving God Himself, the Spirit itself. Only then will you become a true human being. John the Harbinger struggles to bring about the alteration of the soul state, and in that endeavor he must ultimately perish entirely. The victory of the commencing transformation is the manifestation in him of Jesus, the new soul. The light of the candelabrum that stands in the midst changes, and finally the Spirit descends on him like a dove. The Son of God, the true human being, has then come into existence. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is why the work only ends when the Spirit can enter, when it can celebrate its meeting with the soul in the heart sanctuary, so that in this way spirit, soul, and body are made one. Only then can the words of Hermes, spoken at the beginning of the 13th book, be understood. The spirit, O Tat, is of God's very essence. The spirit alone knows itself perfectly.